The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this brand new month, 3rd of December, 2018. Steve Elkins, calling Steve Elkins.
I am here, John.
Are you nuts? Oh, no. No.
I'm going to get you back for that.
The audience has no idea what we're clowning around about, but that's
I'm
okay.
Glad.
That's yeah. Good. That's good. You just can't catch a break here. I can tell them about your doggy, right?
Yeah.
Did it surprise you that I felt comfortable enough in your home to act like a kid running around the house with your dogs?
Yeah, my dogs love you, especially a little black one.
Well, you know what? Somebody years ago told me, dogs and kids love me. It's the adults that can't stand me. And you know what? I thought about that because you told me a story about your poor dog. It wasn't the black one, was it?
Yeah, it was the black one.
Oh, gosh. Well, figures.
Yeah.
Gosh. At any rate, your dog tried to hop up on an ottoman, and he's a little ankle biter. He, what, goes 2-3 pounds?
Oh, God, no. He was 13.
Really?
Yeah.
13. Well, he's in a small compact package. But anyhow, he went to jump up and he fell backwards and he got whiplash.
Yeah.
And it paralyzed him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what amazes me about this story is that, well, first of all, dogs, small dogs, they have a narrow spine. And I guess that has to do with the neck area. That's where the injury occurred. Mm-hmm. And he was partially paralyzed. He could move his front paws, but the back half didn't work. But this happens with smaller animals. Mm-hmm. Bigger dogs, mutts, you know, you name it, they don't have that problem. You ever seen one of these pit bulls jump on a tire that's strung from a tree and it can swing him around until the cows come home and he ain't going to let go? Yeah. Well, you need a strong neck for that and muscles and, you know, all the stuff put together the right way. But you went to your veterinarian. Mm-hmm. And here you were playing Dr. Gregory House. Now, I might have to reconsider the ratchet school of nursing on you, because you did the diagnosis pretty much on the dog. Your veterinarian tells you, there's not too much you can do in this case. And you said, well, no, let's try steroids. And he said, oh, good idea. So he did the steroids. And what's the rest of that story?
Well, I said, let's just treat it like we would a human in the hospital when you have a spinal shock, a spinal cord shock type situation and loss of sensation. We just give a big whopper dose of, based on your body weight, steroids. And we just give you a huge dose, and then we give you a kind of a maintenance dose for many, many days, and then we back it off even more and more. But you want to bring down that inflammatory process pretty fast to free up, to bring everything back in place. There's some inflammation going on. Your body's, inflamed. It's injured. And so I said, let's just treat it like we would a patient in the hospital. This is what we do in the hospital. And he said, that's a great idea. Let's do it. We got nothing to lose at this point, because when I went there, I fully expected to euthanize him, put him down. And I gave him one last shot. I took him out in the front of the the vet there, and I said, "Well, let's see what he does. You know, walk around." And I put him down, and he kind of did this little waddle thing. It's kind of weird, and he tried to hike his leg up, and he looked like he had some gross motor, but he doesn't have the fine motor. You know, kind of looks like he's walking drunk. You know, like walking the line on, you know, for a sobriety test. And I thought, you know, he didn't do that before. So something, his own body's kicking in the corticosteroids. His own body's kicking it in. He's trying to bring down the inflammatory process himself. But let's help it. Let's give him a nice dose here. Let's see if we can bring it down faster and bring back that function again. And he said, "Yeah, let's do it." And so I went back in. I said, "You know, I've changed my mind. We're not going to put him down. Let's try this." And he said, "Sounds great. Let's do it." And so far, so good. He's coming back. He's got more function every day. Today is a good day. He may not ever run down the street like he used to and chase my other dog and play rough, but he's still going to be able to do function and do some pretty good things, and I won't have to put him down. And my wife, this is my wife's baby, you know, this is her baby. This is her child. So when I called her at the hospital, she was working. I said, "I got bad news for you. I was right on this, and you need to come over here. We're probably going to euthanize him." Oh my God. Just, you know, so she was on her way down, and I called her halfway in the middle before she got there, and I said, "Just go home. We're going to do this. We're going to try something different. We're going to treat this like a human in the hospital. We're going to do steroids, high dose, and see where it goes. And if it doesn't work, well, then we're going to put him down." So it worked so far.
Well, you know, I do have magic healing powers. I can probably bring your little black dog all the way back, but that means I'd have to get out into God's waiting room. And I'm close enough to the end that I am the beginning. I don't want to tempt fate. Put him in a shoebox. Send him up. I'll send him back to you whole.
Yeah, he's going to do all right, I think. Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
By the way, you know, you get these emails, and I'm sure you've got them from Freedom Works Foundation. Have you gotten those?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, from Adam Brandon, president of Freedom Works Foundation.
Yeah.
Well, I got this email. John, time's running out. Like, he knows me. Okay, we're on a first name basis here. Deep state globalists are doing everything they can to hijack Medicare and import European socialist healthcare. These bureaucrats want to impose big government price controls on American companies, destroying countless good-paying American jobs. And if that's not bad enough, they're using obscure Obamacare rules to do so. He's telling us, take action, tell these big government bureaucrats to reject socialist price controls. What that should read is, tell the big government to tell the big pharma that they don't have anything to worry about. And he goes on to say, John, as if he knows me again, if this regulation is enacted, it will force American companies to obey socialist price controls on prescription drugs like the ones in France and Sweden. This will stop the development of potentially life-saving medicines and limit patients' access to medication by decreasing supplies. So that's why we've got to do everything we can to stop the deep state socialist scheme before time runs out. Now, I looked at this and I thought, okay, what is a socialist plan? Are we talking about the same pharmaceuticals that the CDC has not responded to Congress, not had any reports for, what was it, 32, 33 years?
Something like that, yeah.
The efficacy of these drugs, you know, they'll pop out with new drugs all the time. 6 months, a year later, you get some lawyer advertising class action lawsuits. Now, I don't know what this has to do with government price controls on prescriptions. What this is, and the government cannot limit a company's greed, okay?
Right.
Because they have foisted on us vaccinations and things that should not be in the human body. Oh, but it's good. It's double plus good for you. We got a symptom. Hey, we got something to relieve that symptom. And a lot of this stuff is dangerous. I don't need to go through the entire rhetoric here about the vaccinations for the children and the dozens and dozens of those things that they get. And that is correlating directly with what? Oh, that's right. Them getting discombobulated and basically losing their little minds and never really maturing into nice, young, healthy adults. And that's a problem. And Steve, you've seen enough evidence. I can directly correlate that. I don't need to do a multi-million dollar, multi-year study. I can just look at just the timelines, watch these things just escalate. The number of mandated vaccinations, who is saying that we need it and how it's being mandated. Mm-hmm. You got to have your kids shot up with this stuff or you're not allowed to be in a public school. Well, I'll tell you who shouldn't be in a public school, and that's the people reintroducing a lot of these diseases, and that's the illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking at this and I'm going, wow. So what was the last thing that they were charging astronomical EpiPens, I think it was called?
Yeah, something like that. There was a couple other things. There was a there was another drug too. It was really expensive. I'm trying to think what it was. There's several on the market there that they just totally jacked up. There was an owner for a company. Do you remember this owner? They went after. It was about a year ago on a medication. He bought something, the company, and he just jacked it up from, which was a normal fee of whatever it was, $20-$30 a pill per. $700 or $800 a pill or something like that.
Wasn't that Martin? What did you say it was, Mike? Skrelly?
Yeah, I think that was him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the EpiPen, isn't that supposed to be for people to have, isn't that like a high-fluting antihistamine when people's lungs go into fits or whatever?
Yeah, it's for a reaction, for an allergy or shock.
Yeah. Where are we getting all our reactions from? I'm not a medical doctor and I'm not a scientist, but I don't know. Yeah. I'm just,
you know, John, not only are they targeting us, and I've watched these drug commercials. Oh. Have you noticed, have you just ever sit there and watched those and watched how fast they go over the adverse reactions and side effects? Have you noticed how fast they just dart over those things?
Well, but it's a lengthy list. And the trick is that half of that commercial is about the negative side effects, but you're being distracted by the flowery little loving little images that you're seeing, and you're really not paying attention. You might hear it the first time, excuse me, but the second time you watch that commercial, you go, oh, that's just that's the prerequisite. They got to warn us. And you really don't listen to it. You don't consider what they are saying,
right. That
you have a medical problem and we're going to give you a drug to relieve it. But here's a list of about 23 and a half different ailments or maladies that you may experience if you take our little drug. And like I said to you before, Steve, this isn't really to stop a lawsuit, because they already have that rigged.
Right.
They have different panels and vaccine and you can't sue the drug manufacturers directly.
Right.
But you know, on somebody that's stupid out there that says, well, okay, well, I took this product and I got sick. Well, we printed it on the brochure. Didn't you read the very fine print that only an ant can read with a magnifying glass? Didn't you read that little flyer in that prescription box? Or, you know, we told you on TV. And this is the typical tactical lawyer approach to things, that you have been warned.
Right.
Okay. Last time, I don't know, new cars, are they sold with certificates in the glove compartment and said that this operating this vehicle may cause your demise? Did you ever see one of those?
No,
I didn't either. But this is a typical lawyer's trick to try to let the public know. And if you got some schmooze of a lawyer, you know, he might be intimidated by the, to venture a guess of what these corporate lawyers get, I don't know, $300-$500 an hour?
Something like that.
You go against these corporations with the battery of the lawyers, one of the favorite tactics of them is to paper you to death. If you've ever seen Aaron Brockovich, that was actually factual. PG&E told him, said, well, the lawyers told him, said, we're going to tie you up on appeal. We're going to throw every piece of paper. It'll be years before anything is settled. But they got a decent judge that looked at the evidence for what it was and said, no, gentlemen, this trial is going to proceed. PG&E was the one company largest settlement to date in this country.
Yep.
But a lot of this crap is lawyer tactics. And who are they protecting? They're protecting their clients. Yep. And I understand and appreciate that. If I hired a lawyer, I wouldn't want him looking out for the other side. But basically, he's looking out for himself, and what he's really doing is guarding the evildoers. That's what lawyers do.
Yep.
You know, I mean, lawyer-client privilege, if you committed murder and you went and got an attorney, if you told him, yeah, I did, I killed the guy. Hey, you're entitled to what? You're entitled to a defense. Lawyer-client privilege there? That works both ways. He can't go running to the cops and go, hey, this guy told me exactly how he did it. He can't do that. Now, the system is flawed, folks. I'm not saying, don't misunderstand me. I'm not for upsetting the entire system. I'm just talking about shyster lawyers that charge an arm and a leg, literally sometimes. But you're on the receiving end, and yeah, we'll win your case. Kind of reminds me when I got pulled over for speeding in Austin and my 45 was partially hidden under the seat. Well, that was illegal for you to do that. Not to have the gun in the car, mind you, for concealing it. And my lawyer told me, he said, well, you know, we'll go to trial. We'll lose it on the first round, but then on the second, on the appeal, we're going to win. And how much is the appeal going to cost? Well, about $30,000. I simply did away with that whole case by looking at the judge and I told her, I said, I want a trial by jury, not a jury trial, a trial by jury. And I want to be able to let that jury know that they can weigh the evidence and the facts. Okay, they can do that. But here's the deal. It's going to be a fully informed jury. When I said fully informed jury, her eyes got twice as big in her skull. I walked out of that courtroom with 1 year probation. And the record would be scrubbed if I didn't get in any more gun trouble for a year. And the lawyer looked at me and he was flabbergasted. Number one, there went his meal ticket for next year. He goes, who do you know down here? I said, I don't know anybody. He said, you don't understand who you are, you know, talk show host, and you're a gun advocate. They wanted to bury you. Who do you know down here? I said, I don't know anybody. So you're sitting at this table, slack-jawed, looking at me, wanting to know who I knew down here? I didn't go to lawyer school. I just used, I applied common sense. I was going to go to the jurors with this crap and see if they would convict. I've got faith in a fully informed jury. Well, that didn't make his day. And the case, believe it or not, they kept the damn gun. But Travis County actually sent me a voucher for the replacement of the gun, which was ironic. Yeah. Folks, Here's the moral of this story. Never give up, never surrender, never back down. You think you're in the right? I'm not saying be foolish about it. But if you think you're in the right, for God's sakes, don't let anybody try to discourage you from doing the right thing because of imminent threat. Or, you know, they're going to get you one way or another. You know what? If I've got to live a life like that, Steve, It's not a life worth living.
I agree.
You know, I posted a story today, and I don't want to knock the guy too hard, but and under his banner it says, come to Panama, get out before you can't. And every time I see something like that, and I've admonished people over the years, if you're leaving this country because it's gotten a little too uncomfortable for you, you know what? When we finally do, not saying that if we had your help, it'd be a cakewalk, but, you know, there's going to be some sweat, blood, and tears that go on here. And if you're not part of the restoration process, do me a favor. When we get the country back, keep your ass out of this country. I hope the host country you're in right now, you're enjoying your life, because I would really prefer that you spend the rest of your life there. The rest of us are down in this pig trough fighting with tooth and nail with everything that we have. So stick it in your pig trough.
There you go.
By the way, we're coming up on break here. And I have something posted, and it's so small. I oftentimes miss this. I have a pair of handcuffs sitting on the sill of the studio window here. But it reads, if tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. James Madison. And that's exactly what they got us doing. Holy mackerel. Support the troops. Support 900 bases. Support $750 billion a year. It's important. To whom? Only for the people that make the weapons? and drop them.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You can quit bitching at me and just say thank you. Okay. Steve, I brought up to the network some new jeans kind of that don't fit me because do I have to say I'm too fat?
I ain't saying nothing.
Good.
I'm in the same boat as you.
Well, let's see what's happening in the world today. Gosh almighty. It's been big headlines.
Oh, no.
What?
Let's go right over that real fast. Oh. I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
The passing of the
How'd you know that?
Well, I put him in the same category as John McCain, so we can go over this really fast because I don't want to give any more attention to this guy because he's a murderer, he's a butcher, and hundreds of thousands, maybe who knows, maybe millions of people dead, innocent people because of him. So I'm there. You go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Let me. Before. Yeah.
Is that Julie?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's dead.
Yes. Yes. You know, I made a list up, John, that he's we have a few more on the list. That's a long list of people that need to go to go down below and to hell here. Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, Condoleezza Rice, George W. Bush, Henry Kissinger, Colin Powell. That burn in hell list is really, really long. So, well, that's two down. That's two down. A lot more to go.
Well, I
not very Christian-like. I'm sorry, but I just don't feel very Christian-like when people murder other people in other countries, and then now are giving a hero's welcome or a hero's farewell. I get a little ticked about people who slaughter other people in other countries and then walk away saying, "Oh well, that's the way it goes." I have a problem with that.
Well, Ray McGovern, Consortium News, he says, picture the late George H.W. Bush being welcomed with open arms last night by three of the Gang of Six white-collar criminals he pardoned on Christmas Eve 1992, just before he left office. Waiting for him were former Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger, plus swashbuckling CIA covert action chieftains Dewey Claridge and Claire George. All of them charged, and George, by the way, was convicted of perjury. What a celebration is in store when the other three of the gang eventually join them. They are Robert McFarlane, the CIA's Alan Fears, and former Assistant Secretary of State Elliot Abrams, all of whom had already pleaded guilty to withholding information from Congress before Bush Sr. let them off the hook. It caused an outcry in some circles. The New York Times reported Bush pardoned six in Iran affair, aborting a Weinberger trial, prosecutor sales cover-up. Now, cover-up indeed. Bush was up to his neck in the crimes of Iran-Contra. You know, they didn't talk about that one. And so was his protege, Bobby Gates. Gates was so demonstrably involved that he had zero chance of being confirmed as CIA director the first time it was tried, in 1991. Bush had to move mountains to get him confirmed. Gates knew where the bodies were buried, so to speak, and he could be counted on keeping them buried 6 foot under. McGovern wrote, he said, I learned this well after I spent 4 years from 1981 to 1985 for the CIA briefing then Vice President Bush with the President's Daily Brief. Now, these are insiders talking, folks. He said, at the risk of stating the obvious, it is not clear that by the time the Supreme Court made Bush Jr. president, CIA operatives had long since internalized the idea they could literally get away with murder. It is not widely known, but several of the detainees in CIA custody following the 9/11 died under torture. This came despite the lawyerly advice from Jonathan Fredman, Esquire, chief counsel of the CIA's Counterterrorism Center on torture guidelines. On October 2nd, 2002, Fredman briefed interrogators in Guantanamo to resolve questions they had about unfamiliar interrogation techniques, like waterboarding. With creepy nonchalance, Fredman claimed, falsely, that the language of the torture statutes is written vaguely and summed up the legalities in this way. It's basically subject to perception. If the detainee dies, you're doing it wrong. Now, needless to say, the Nicaraguan Contras, whom Bush Sr. and his favorite CIA, now pardoned covert action operatives, supported, paid no heed to such niceties and the violence facilitated by the crimes of Iran-Contra. We're not supposed to blame the sons for the sins of their father and vice versa. We should be careful not to blame the fathers for the sins of the son. Nevertheless, it's difficult to give Bush, one, total absolution in this case, as I found out after I wrote Bush Sr. suggesting that Jr. had fallen in with bad companions and that the consequences would likely be serious. Now, here's the deep state. I'm going to relay this after the break here. The deep state is perpetual, and they keep claiming that the presidents, well, they just don't exactly know what's going on. That's what's going on with the president. Folks, he's not elected, he's selected. And he's selected by the people that want him in office. They would have preferred to add Hillary this time. Instead, we got the other guy.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews. But this is a wonderful product, and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John.
Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. He didn't say much. He kind of quiet and shy. And if you spoke at all, he just said hi to Big John.
You know the scary thing about this is, Steve?
What's that?
I can remember when this song first came out and played on radio.
Jimmy Dean, yeah. I remember it. Yeah.
James Dean, the same guy, the sausage guy.
It's the sausage guy, yep.
Which there, isn't he dead now?
Yeah, he is.
But dead. They're running this commercial on TV for Bob Evans sausage, and
yep.
Somehow it's like he's still alive.
Yep.
Now that's...
Still making money.
still making the sausage, yeah.
Commerce.
So, yeah. Bushy boy here, McGovern wrote Bush. And he said, George H.W. Bush and I had a long-standing professional and later cordial relationship for many years after he stopped being president. We stayed in touch, mostly by letter. On January 11, 2003, as the invasion of Iraq was gaining momentum, I wrote a letter to the elder Bush asking him to speak privately to your son, George, about the crazies advising him on Iraq, adding, I am aghast at the cavalier way in which Richard Perle of the Pentagon are promoting the use of nuclear weapons as an acceptable option against Iraq. My letter continued that such people have the president's ear is downright scary. I think he needs to know why you exercise such care to keep such folks at arm's length. And as you may know, they are exerting unrelenting pressure on the CIA analysts to come up with the right answers. You know how that goes. His reassuring answer not to worry about the influence of the crazies might have on his son was a great disappointment. The elder Bush might not have been fully conscious of it. Now here comes the cleanup. Here comes the plausible deniability clause here. And I'm no damn lawyer. The elder Bush may not have been fully conscious of it, but he was whistling in the dark, having long since decided to leave the surrogates like former National Security Advisor Brent Scowcroft and former Secretary of State James Baker the task of highlighting publicly the criminal folly of attacking Iraq. Or the father may have tried privately, who knows. It was my view, a tragedy that he did not speak out publicly. He would have been very well aware that this was the only thing that would have had a chance of stopping his son from committing what the Nuremberg Tribunal defined as the supreme international crime. Junior is the poster child for the crying need of this country for basic instruction on parenting. See what mission accomplished looks like in the Middle East today. After the invasion, Bush Sr. somewhat came to his senses, blaming his son's iron-ass advisors, Cheney and Rumsfeld, for the disaster. Remember the buck stops here, folks? Remember that one? It didn't get Sr. off the hook. A lot of damage W caused can be attributed pure and simple to poor parenting. Well, that's Ray McGovern. Now, the guy was an insider. He's got half of it right. But he's in there, and he's trying to convince us that, well, folks, you got to take the accidental view of history. This was not planned. George Bush Sr. didn't know how this was going to work out. I beg to differ with you. He knew exactly how this was, and he went along with it. He went along with it just like all the past presidents, having full knowledge of what's going on. Now, another one that Bushy did, remember this little Kuwaiti deal?
Yep.
Remember them telling us that, oh, the Iraqis have 1,500 tanks and 150,000 men on the Syrian border ready to invade. That was not true at all.
Right.
Satellite photos were taken. It's on the website, folks. Take a look at it. Satellite shot of the Kuwaiti-Iraqi border. There were no buildup of troops. The thing of it was that Saddam Hussein realized that Kuwait was slant drilling into Iraq and sipping their oil.
Right.
And the deal was made that, okay, you can take half of Kuwait. Well, for the trouble, I guess Saddam Hussein figured he'd roll into Kuwait and take the whole damn thing. Well, that didn't happen because, well, there were operatives in there just burning those wells up. Remember that deal?
I do.
Then magically, just all those wells caught on fire and kind of made it useless for the Iraqis. I guess the same could be said for the Kuwaitis, but I mean, it's been lie after lie after lie, and here we are. By the way, the UN just came out, shocked me all to hell. They said that Israel should give back the Golan Heights, and they should get the hell out of there. Uh-oh.
Yep.
And by the way, I'm going to try to clean this one up. Marilyn Monroe. Do you remember Joan Rivers, how she made the comment about Barack Obama and his wife? Everybody knows she's a transvestite.
Right. Tranny.
Yep. And a week or two later, she was dead?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
you know, that whole procedure done in a doctor's office was a huge no-no, John.
Well, here's another one. Marilyn Monroe, shortly before she died of an overdose, she said that I am going to quit. I don't even know how to politely put this. She says, I want to be free. I do not want to get down on my knees and do the service for one more Jew in Hollywood to continue my career. I'm sick of it. A couple of weeks later, guess what?
Dead.
She's deader than a doornail. So, folks, when we talk about this issue, it's not because we're just part and parcel of some neo-Nazi group here or somebody that's been tagged with, well, you're just anti-Semitic. No, we've delved into this subject. We've talked about the Semite versus anti-Semite. We have dealt with the issue in excruciating detail. And that's the one thing, you find out who your enemy really is when you can't talk about them. And they went to the extreme degree that, well, they just had to pass hate crime laws. That's to stop people hating. No, that was to stop you from telling the truth, and they've been putting people in prison. They're not real successful yet in this country because we still got this bothersome, what do they call that, the First Commandment or the First, oh, that's right, the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. But, you know, these hate crime laws, can it be expanded to something else? Well, they're already doing it. Well, it's a hate crime if you hate blacks, or it's a hate crime if you hate this. No, it's my God-given, divine, double-backed right to hate anything that I want to. Right. But I'm not going to do it for unreasonable cause. I'm going to do it for just cause, because I know what effect their actions and what they do have on us as human beings and as a culture and a society. Excuse me, I'm just not going to shut the hell up.
I agree, 100%. You know, I'm looking at the Orlando Sentinel right now, and the paper yesterday, it said, he lived to serve, shows George Bush Sr. And on the backside here, 41st president's legacy includes Gulf War and end of the Cold War. He said there was no higher honor than serving his country. Here's a negative. The Gulf War was a negative. We were lied to. There was no weapons of mass destruction. Everything we were told about it, we were lied to about it. And they turned it. The mainstream media has turned this negative of the Gulf War into a positive, is what they do. That's what mainstream media did. I mean, they did the same thing to John McCain. He ended up being a hero in his departure. I'm just, John, I guess all presidents leave office being murderers. I don't know how you can sleep at night. I really don't. You know, if I heard a patient in the hospital and I was responsible for their death, how I would carry that on my shoulders. I'd definitely need some treatment, some psycho treatment big time. But here's somebody who's just wiped out so many innocent people based on lies that he knew were lies, faulty intelligence. It's a good scapegoat to say faulty intelligence. And that's your get out of jail card of responsibility, because, oh, I had bad intelligence, and sleep like a baby at night. I guess you would say a sociopath, a psychopath. How can somebody sleep at night knowing they just killed hundreds of thousands of innocent people? I don't know, John.
Hundreds,
what do you think?
Hundreds of thousands? How about millions?
Well, I'd say it was probably a million. At one time it was 400,000, 500,000. Yeah. We don't know the number because they won't tell us. But if somebody else did that in another country, that is a dictator, and that is a brutal dictator and a murderer.
Well, wait a minute. Who do we pin Syria on? Because there's 500,000, half a million people that died over this plan of let's reform and let's get rid of Bashar al-Assad. Right. Let's build up the phony ISIS thing. Let's arm them, train them, give them all the money that they need to start trouble in their own country, kill their own citizens, and try to kill Assad himself. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, over the weekend, John, I watched a movie called 13 Days. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I thought you didn't like violence.
No, I watched it to see how much was true in history and followed it. And what I came up with the conclusion of watching 13 Days with Kevin Costner and the Kennedys and the whole Cuban Missile Crisis is that I realized the generals and the Central Intelligence had already decided, we can't work with this guy. We can't control this guy. He has to go. If you watch that closely, you have all the clear evidence, if this is true, to say that we can't control this president. He must go. They killed him. They had to assassinate him. That's what I got out of the movie over the weekend. I watched that, and that's what I got out of it.
You know, that movie I keep wanting you to watch, Remember the 4th of November, Guy Fawkes, the revolutionary that was in England, V for Vendetta?
I can't find it. Haven't found it yet.
Yeah. It's there.
I'm looking for it.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I will.
Anybody got a copy of this, I'll give you the guy's address.
I'm looking for it.
Yeah.
I even went to flea market looking for it. I haven't found it yet.
Yeah. You didn't check the bin at your local, I don't know, grocery store or any Stop and Rob? They got zillions of them.
I'll find it.
You better, because I'm not letting you off the hook on this one.
No.
And you will forever remember the 4th of November.
All right.
Art? Hello, Art.
Hey, guys. How's it going, man? Well, you know, I originally called in to ask a question about this recent death we've had, but then you got to talking about world history and all, so I'll throw out my little thought on the George Bush thing real quick, and then I'll get on to the...
Oh, good, because this is a good segue into the next hour. I've got a 9-minute history lesson that people are going to be shocked by. You thought you knew history? We're going to let you know that you really didn't. Go ahead.
Well, as far as George Bush Jr. Senior goes, isn't it amazing they talk all kinds of nasty smack about these folks, and then when they die, these beautiful, wonderful eulogies, you'd think they were the next best thing, close to second only to Mother Teresa or something, you know? Yep. But on this this world, this history thing, you were talking about like going back to Iran, and then one of the things I keep trying to get people to understand with that, or Iraq and Kuwait deal, was had they not given, you know, Saddam the okay to slant drill, we'd have never had that deal to start with. But then the topic came up earlier today about the, you know, going against Hitler and all, and you know, this guy was like, you know, we, because of America's complacency and our refusal to get involved in anything that did not directly involve us, you know, that was what caused what allowed Hitler to rise to power and all of this that, and the other, and then how he went on to commit this mass murder. And I says, so you believe that 600 million Jews were massacred in the gas chambers or whatever? Is it? Absolutely. I said, well, interestingly enough, would you believe the numbers do not lie? He said, oh, of course, numbers, you can't lie if you actually use real numbers. I said, well, what would I tell you if the number 600 million came to almost one-third of the world's population in 1942? You're going to tell me Hitler and the Third Reich was responsible for literally wiping out one-third of the world's population single-handedly?
You're touching the third rail, which will get you electrocuted. If not, it'll get you safe passage into heaven, no matter if the devil's nipping at your heels.
Well, you know, I mean, the numbers don't lie. And then when you throw this out, the guy looks like, okay, how do I respond to that? Yeah, exactly. How do you respond to the fact there's no way, there weren't even 600 million Jews in Europe at the time? So he would have had to literally traveled all around the world. And that's assuming that there were 600 million Jews on the face of the planet, considering there were only about 2,300,000-something-odd people on the face of the planet. So 600 million is close to one-third of the population. And so when you start you start looking at that, it's like, how is it possible? How could he have possibly done this? And nobody would have stopped him long before he got to that point?
Right. You know, it's kind of interesting. Steven Spielberg grew up Jewish. He was in a non-Jewish neighborhood, and they used to ridicule him for being Jewish. And for the longest time, he walked away from Judaism. It wasn't until Kate Capshaw, Amy Irvin was his wife. He divorced her. Kate Capshaw showed up to pull him back into Judaism. Mm-hmm. And to this day, Steven Spielberg is one conflicted individual, a hell of an imaginative filmmaker. I cannot take that from him, but he was essentially right. Well, the reason why he walked away from Judaism, but he's right back in there. And those in Hollywood wanted to corral this guy because you know what? He's one hell of a moneymaker. And so, so what did he do? What movie did he do in black and white? Schindler's List.
Right.
And when you watch that, if you didn't know history, you'd watch that and go, damn, the next time I hear somebody calling a Jew a dirty name, I'm going to kill him.
Well, I got to recheck my numbers. 600 million would have been roughly about one-fifth of the world's population.
Yeah, it didn't happen. The numbers that were claimed that Hitler killed in the gas chambers, which they didn't.
There weren't that many Jews in Europe to be.
It was 6.5, they said. Yeah, 6.5 they used. Yeah.
And let's ignore that Anne Frank wrote her diary with a ball pen, that ballpoint pen that wasn't created until years later. Yeah, I mean, look, we can keep going over that, but It's the masters that do not want the slaves out nosing around and beating the bushes. That's what this is about.
I was even asked, well, how did they come up with the number 600 million? I said, well, it's simple, because if you go back and you originally look at the argument, I think originally they said there was something like a little over 30 million or something like that, and then nobody checked that, nobody questioned it, so later it became 100 million, a little bit later it became 225 million, and because nobody ever questioned and nobody ever checked it, the number just keeps getting bigger until it gets to be such a large number that they finally figure out we need to stop increasing the number, because if we go too much further, people are going to know we're full.
No, you perpetrate the lie, and you keep that lie alive, and you have to juice it from time to time to make the lie believable and even more abhorrent to the utopian stupid out there, I guess. I don't know. But this is...
I even mentioned that to him. I said, and plus, you know, this has been going on for so long, you know, it goes back to that, what you just said, and that's what I told him. It goes back to that. You tell a lie long enough, and eventually everybody's going to believe it.
Hey, there was,
and now it's gotten to the point to where nobody wants to question it. And I was listening to one of our local talk show hosts on our local radio station here, and he's spouting this stuff, and it's like they won't take my calls anymore because they got tired of me calling in and questioning them. And I'm like, well, you know, you can't be telling these lies.
Oh, yes, they can, because they own the airwaves, and the people that promise their pay. That's the proverbial carrot in front of their face that they never get to really take a chunk at, but they can see it and they can smell it. But no, you don't talk about things, because if you do, your career's over with.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Art, I got to let you go. Appreciate your call.
You know, there's a book out there by David Cole called Republican Party Animal. And he talks about Spielberg in there and many prominent directors in Hollywood. And they actually had the tapes rolling secretly. They didn't know they were being recorded, but he mentioned Spielberg actually admitted that the numbers were all a lie, but they were used for shock value,
mm-hmm.
and they were very rewarding mm-hmm. monetarily.
Yeah.
The shock value of all these things, and he knew they were all lies.
Why do you think they're doing the 3 days of poor George Bush Sr., such a wonderful guy? We're going to have a national holiday, folks, Wednesday. The stock market's going to get shut down. The flags are going to fly at half mast. I mean, I've seen the pictures that the Bushes have taken with the Clintons and the Obamas. They were tied at the hip. There's literally no difference between the two. None. Let me squeeze Mark from Georgia in here. Hello, Mark.
Oh, okay. Well, Merry Humbug.
Yeah. We're happy that if you're on the speaker, Mark, get off of that. We're just happy that people are now saying Merry Christmas once again.
Well, that's fine. But you know why the bug hums?
Is that a rhetorical question?
It's a joke. The bug hums because it doesn't know the words.
Oh, well, I thought the cuter one, what is the last thing that goes through a bug's mind as you hit them going down the highway at 80 miles an hour? Figure that
your
one
windshield.
Out.
Windshield.
Yeah. At any rate.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to the, in the next couple of days, I'm finally going to have my long-awaited wait is going to be concluding.
Good.
Unless they screw up again. But anyway, I'm looking forward to helping you out. One of these days, I'll go out there and, in the meantime, I got to get my fingerprints to the Federal Bureau of FBI and find out why it is that they don't want to give me permission to procure the means of defending myself, because I'm like, you guys screwed up my record, because I've never been indicted, prosecuted, convicted, or
you know what they call that?
Guilty.
You know what they call that?
Screwed up.
No,
normal.
Fresh meat.
Oh, well. All I know is I've been following the instructions, trying to print out the form, and the printer said, what's wrong with this thing? Come on. But anyway, it's one of those things where the figure that I've heard was 6 million, not 600 million. I've heard them double it, which is ridiculous. But let me ask you something. I've seen this little table in a document that allegedly the Red Cross, and I don't know how to substantiate this, but the report I heard was that the Red Cross issued a three-volume report about the aftermath of World War II, and the bottom line was 271,301 Jews that died during the Holocaust. Now, I don't know how to authenticate this. It seems to be in German, which means some people will say, well, that's
well, okay. And I'll tell you how they arrived at that, because the Germans were very meticulous in detail. They kept records. The American Red Cross went off of the German records themselves. That's how they got that figure. Now, it's funny here, because the American Red Cross didn't report on, what was it, 1.5 million German soldiers that were starved to death after we took control of Germany?
1.3 million, yeah.
Okay, I might be a little bit high, 1.3 million. Okay, we'll just say, let's just round it down. They starved 1 million German soldiers to death. Three times.
They didn't even allow them clean water or shelter.
Three or four, maybe even as much as five times of the Jews that supposedly died in their death camps. I am so sick of this crap. I'm just so tired of it.
I'm just wondering, have you ever had David Irving on your program? Because one thing I respect about the guy is, I'd like to talk with him, and I'd like to find out if you know how to contact, what's his name, the pastor. He claims to have contact with high-level insiders. Pastor, oh, great. I knew his name 5 minutes ago, and then I'm blanking.
Lindsay Williams.
Have you known anything? Have you heard anything about what's gone on with him lately?
I don't know who him is. Are you talking about Lindsay Williams?
Well, Lindsay Williams, yes, Lindsay Williams. Now, thank you. That's the guy.
I do not know.
I just haven't heard from him in a while, and I'm wondering, we were under the impression certain things were going to happen, and I do recognize there's been a lot of posturing and a lot of, we need to make everything sure everything's together, and there are certain elements that may be resisting certain things. I don't claim that. The only thing I know for sure is that the reign of the beast will come to pass, but the reign of Christ will come to stay. And that's the thing I'm really, I'm looking forward to getting on the other side of it, but the thing is...
And you know what, Mark?
Between here and there.
You know what was left behind? It was called the rule book. And I get so sick and tired of people just begging and pleading, Jesus, you got to come back to straighten out the... I imagine him sitting someplace up in heaven, contemplatingly looking down at what his father created and went, what else do you people need? The Bible is still the most popular selling book on the entire planet that my dad created.
Yeah.
So why aren't you getting it? Why aren't you getting
it? The problem is that because people have an interpretive mindset, like the people who, explain to me Galatians 3:26 when it says Abraham and his seed, singular, meaning Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean many people. So these people persist in rejecting the Messiah, and that's why they're not God's chosen people. But I get the impression.
Well, the ones have been accused. Look, who are the ones that have been trying to dump God and Jesus all these years? There's your clue, Bubba. Mark, I've got to go to break. I'm running out of time. Do me a favor. Okay. Hang on. Don't hang up. Okay,
standing by.
All right.
Thank you.
Very good. Top of the hour break. Steve Elkins, John Statmiller, this is the Monday edition of the National Intel Report.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.